Tony Broom Ministries presents the following Bible message from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, entitled, When Church is More Than an Iffy Religion. Most of us are familiar with 2 Chronicles 7:14. It talks about my people who are called by my name, humbling themselves, praying, and seek my face. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That verse is well known. It's probably the most familiar of the chapter. And there's an if in the beginning of that verse. So if means Andy Griffin, he says if in something. If. Well, if church is more than just iffy religion. That's what I want to talk to you about. When church is more than iffy religion. 2 Chronicles 7 actually starts off with a prayer. The prayer is not recorded, but it's recorded in earlier chapter 6. And Solomon prayed. He prayed a long prayer. They tell me that if a preacher prays a long time at church, chances are he might not be praying too much at home. That doesn't go just for the preacher, that's for anybody else. If you pray a long time in church, chances are you might not be praying a long time at home. But another thing is this cabin fever. I guess they call it fever. But when you get out, you've been in so long, when you get out, you don't know how to act. And sometimes your lips get loose and you don't know when to be quiet. Maybe that's a problem. But Solomon was praying, and he prayed a long prayer. And he asked the Lord for several things, and one of them was that he wanted the Lord to bless in such a way that he would be able to use this house for the glory of God, that the prayer of God's people would be heard from the house of the Lord, and even if they were away from this particular temple, that they would pray towards this temple and be able to be heard. And that they would just look towards Jerusalem and towards the temple, that God would hear and answer their prayers. Solomon said this is a beautiful temple, but it's nothing compared to the magnificence of God. It's nothing compared to the glory of God. I have built this house, but heaven and earth cannot contain you. And so he prayed this prayer, and in verse 1 of chapter 7, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When prayer is offered, God responds to prayer. Don't ever think that God does not respond to your prayers. You may not see it happen the way that you think, but God responds to prayer. When prayer was offered here, the holy fire of God, the glory of God came down and it filled the house. The fire of God consumed the sacrifices. There was a whole bunch of sacrifices too. God had no problem burning them up and consuming them. And that says in the Old Testament, when that happened, that God was pleased with what was going on. I hope and trust that God is pleased with what is going on now in my life. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want to please God. I want to please Him in the way that I do. Jesus said, I'll do always those things that please the Father. Well, I can testify to the fact that I certainly do not do always those things that please the Father. But I certainly want to please the Father more. I want to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. When that happened in the Old Testament, the fire came down. It was saying that God had His approval on what was going on. And the fire of God consumed the sacrifice. The glory of God's presence filled the house, to the point the priest could not enter to minister because the Lord's glory had filled the Lord's house. The same thing happened in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Moses got everything ready, and then God said, as it were, stand back. Now you've done all you can do, and here's what I can do. His presence comes in and it fills the house of the Lord. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." They responded to holy fire. God's people always respond to holy fire. When Solomon prayed, the Lord's fire and his presence came into the house of the Lord, and God's people responded to it. They responded to the presence of the Lord. If you have a church that's dead, if you have a church that's dry, if things are not going well, you just ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. When God's presence starts moving and his blessings start happening, God's people will respond accordingly. That's what happened here. They responded to holy fire. We don't need wildfire. We need holy fire. God's people responded to holy fire. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. So when you respond to holy fire, the presence of God, I don't know what it is. I know it happened in my life and it happens in your life too. When you get right with God, you still don't know too much, and we don't know all that much now, but I tell you what, you just want to do something for the Lord. You want to do something. I don't care what it is. When you're in church a long time, you kind of pick and choose what you do. When you first get saved, get right with God, you'll lift up a dustpan. You'll do anything. God give us that same servant heart, that same faith that we need. God's people offered sacrifice to the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice, and listen to this, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep, a whole lot. You may not have all that to offer the Lord, but whatever you have, he's pleased with it. The king and all the people dedicated the house of God. The house of God, whether it's under the old economy, the old covenant, or now the new covenant, is still the house of God. And the house of God has been dedicated to God. This particular house has been dedicated to God. It has been prayed over. The articles in the house of God have been dedicated to God. The pulpit, the pews, and all the furniture, just like the tabernacle furniture. And we're not under the old covenant anymore, and we don't worship temples and tabernacles, and God's presence is in us. We're the church of the living God, but the house of God is still the house of God, and it's still dedicated to God. It should be used for the spiritual purposes of worshiping God. So the priests waited on their offices. That's what they were doing. They were happy in what they were doing. The priests were waiting on their offices. Not trying to take somebody else's office, but they were just doing what God wanted them to do. Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endures forever, when David praised by their ministry. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Well, they were praising God. They were worshiping God like King David taught them to. David was the one who taught us to come into the presence of God and to worship God. He would lay back the flaps on those worship instruments and praise God. The Ark of the Covenant couldn't be touched or anything like that, but he would roll back the flaps and he would blow the trumpets and they would praise God. He had some that said, "Well, as long as I can hear the shofar, I'll praise God. Don't be blowing all them whistles. Don't be blowing all them trumpets. Don't be playing all them drums." So David introduced new worship. He introduced the music. Wasn't just the old tabernacle stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Some people say, "As long as I can hear the organ, long as I can hear the piano, oh, that note right there, I just feel the Holy Ghost." But if you feel the Holy Ghost there, if you blow a flute for the Lord, you ought to be able to feel the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, he's good. Why should you praise him? He's good because his mercy endures forever. Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there they offered the offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar, the brass altar which Solomon had made, was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. It was too little. They hallowed the court Not only is the church building set aside for God, but the court. Some people feel like, well, as long as you don't do stuff in the sanctuary, you're all right. No, the whole thing is set aside for the Lord. That's a good place to say amen. But also at that same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath into the river of Egypt. Big group, spread out a long ways, and they were excited about the Lord. In the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly. They kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. They were glad. They were not mad or sad. They were glad of the things that were going on. Church should not be a burden. I don't care if it's a pandemic. I don't care if it's an epidemic. I don't care what kind of demic it is. Church should not be a burden. It should be a joy to be able to come into the house of God and praise God. If you have to do it on Zoom, you can Zoom for the Lord. If you have to do it on Facebook, YouTube, if you have to do it on Parler, wherever it is, do it for the Lord. Use these means. It said David prays by their means. Use these means to minister to the Lord, whatever it is. If you have to go to school and take technology, do it. If you have to learn HTML code like I did on the weekends till I could do my website, do it. Do whatever you can do for the Lord. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. He prosperously effected. God blessed what he was doing. When you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. God blesses the work of your hands. It's not because of your righteousness. It's not because of what you can do, but you're putting God first in your life, and therefore everything that your hands are doing is blessed. As long as Solomon put God first, God blessed him. But the minute he started turning away from God, the blessing started going away. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night, said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Here's where the ifs start. God told him, I have chosen this place. I have heard your prayer. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, you would just think that verse 14 started, if my people. But all that other iffy stuff came before that. The church is to be more than an iffy religion. It is to be more than an iffy religion. If I can do this, or if I can do that. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. All of that is contingent on the little word if. If they pray, if they humble themselves, if they seek my face, if they turn from their wicked ways. It's a lot of conditions. The reason that we're not blessed anymore than we're blessed in our nation anymore is because we're not meeting the conditions that are laid down by the forefathers, and especially by our Father God, the condition that he put forth, if my people who are called by my name. Now, that is Israel directly. It literally means Israel. He's talking to Israel. He wasn't talking necessarily to the church. The church hadn't been born. He wasn't talking to us. We had not been born. He was talking to Israel. But it applies to us. Our people, my people who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, just like Israel was expected to do. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land needs healing. We have to meet the conditions that our Heavenly Father set. Because he said, it may be that I have called for a famine upon the land. It may be that I have called for pestilence. It may be that I have called for these things. And some things can come. People have this wrestling idea about whether God sent it or not. It's not that God sent it, but God is allowing it. God is allowing it for a purpose, to try to wake the nations of the world up, to try to wake the church up, to try to wake America up, to try to wake Washington up, instead of going our ways and choosing our own agenda and making it look so smooth that ain't nobody done nothing wrong to bump the King's English. Looks like nobody has done anything wrong, but you know, with one eye and half sense, there's something about this thing ain't right.
Amen.
And you know that our nation is not going in the right way. There's no way that you can put in liberals. There's no way that you can choose homicide, genocide. There's no way that you can choose infantile death. Even after abortion has failed, a botched abortion, a baby can be born in the operating room, in the doctor's office, can be born, and the doctor can take his wicked hands and put around that baby's neck and make sure he's dead. You know America's on the way to hell when we can do things like that. Think we're going to get by with it? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. There's a lot of humbling that needs to take place. We've gotten haughty. We've gotten high-minded. We've thought just because we've been educated in our schools, we've thought just because we're able to do legislation, we have thought just because we're able to have military might and do things like we wanted them to do, be done, we can handle things on our own. God said, okay, you're on your own. God help us.
Amen.
Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. I will hear when people pray. You can pray in your home. Many of us have to now. You can pray in the house. You can pray in the church house. He said, I will hear you. If he hears them under the old covenant in a temple of Solomon, I know he'll hear God's people in a Holy Ghost temple after the day of Pentecost has already happened. Now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. I will hear the prayers. I have sanctified this house. I have chosen this house. As for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, thou shalt observe my statutes and my judgments. Then I will establish the throne of my kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away, you know what that but means right there? But means forget everything I just said. It does. If I tell Pastor Frank, I got a $100 bill in my pocket. If I told him that, I'd be telling a lie, by the way. But if I told him I had $20 in my pocket, I wouldn't be telling a lie. And I said, got $20 in my pocket, and I know you need it. And you certainly can have it, but how many of you know that but just says he ain't gonna get it? Now, I want you to serve me and I want you to love me, God says, if you do what I say, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, shall go after other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He cast them out of his presence, not because God's a mean old bad old God. It's because they had done what God told them not to do. This house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, that he may say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land, unto this house? What in the world was making him so mad and so angry? Why in the world did he do this? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. They did what God told them not to do. Church, for them, had become an iffy religion, because they had not kept the commandments of God. God wants us to have more than an iffy religion. He wants us to have more than religion. He wants us to have salvation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. But another thing they had to do, they had to turn from their wicked ways. It's easy for me to say, well, I humble myself and I will pray and I'll ask God to help you. But what about me changing my life? What about me turning from my wicked ways? What about me owning up to the sin that I have done? There are many people right now that are facing the judgment of God because they have sinned against God, they have turned against God, they are going against God, and God says there's an if. The reason that you're not blessed is because the if has not been met. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's four things that we have to do. And then God says, I will hear from heaven. That's what he wants to do anyway. He wants to hear us. He said, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. My hand is not short that it cannot save. Your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have come between you and your God that he cannot hear you. America is facing devastation because of the path of destruction which she has and is choosing. We are to hear God, and God will hear us. He will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sin. He will heal our land. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's an if to it. If you don't confess, if you don't believe, then you cannot and will not be saved. But if you do confess and you do believe, then you will be saved. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The if says that we have to confess that we've sinned. Some people think that Pentecostals don't sin. We don't sin, we make mistakes. We slip up. We come a little short. But the scripture said we done come big short. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't just say short, it says we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we used to say that we believe in a sanctified life, and we're ashamed of that now, it's a sin. We don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost anymore, it's a sin. When we don't believe you ought to live right anymore, it's a sin. When you can vote for ungodliness and liberalism and put it in play, go back to the old sinful way of life, put in the new agenda, which is nothing more than the old corrupt agenda, take away everything that's been good, take away all our freedoms, all our liberty, and put bondage and slavery in its place. Don't tell me that we haven't sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, he is able and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
The contingency was upon Israel. The ball, if you will, was in their court. God said, I've given you my law, I've given you the commandments, I've given you a tabernacle, and now I've given you a holy temple, this big, beautiful, magnificent temple, and I have filled this temple. You built it. You put all the silver and the gold, you did all this stuff, but it's my presence. Without the presence of God, it's just a hollow, beautiful shell. But with the presence of God, it means everything. And the presence of God comes into it. It doesn't matter if it's a flappy tabernacle like you have in the wilderness or it's a beautiful cathedral like Solomon built. The thing that matters is the presence of God.
Amen.
You may have just a pup tent, But if it's got the presence of God in it, that's what's important. You may have an humble abode, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. Your humble abode may not impress anybody, but you're not trying to impress anybody anyway. What you're trying to do is worship God. You may have a one-bedroom apartment, but if you're there, you have a pillow, you can lay your head on your pillow at night, you have a warm place to stay, you have a place where you can get from the elements of this world and things of this life, you have a place where you can go. It's worth it all to have Jesus and to come into your living room, into your kitchen, into your bedroom, and to spend time there with you. He said, I'll be there with you. I'll fellowship with you and you with me. If you have my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. If you love me, I'll love you. My Father will love you. We will come to you. I will manifest myself to you. I'll make my abode. We'll make our abode with you. How do you do it? By the Holy Spirit. You got the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit. All three in one there with you. Wherever you are. Wherever you are in your place. If you're in quarantine, if you have to be in a place of solitary, you're not by yourself. Jesus is right there with you. And he makes his abode with you. You have the Word of God, you have your Bible, you have a Christian program, praise and worship music, whatever it is, God is right there with you. You don't have to be alone. You may have to be alone, solitary as far as humanly speaking, but you're never alone. Jesus said, every one of you will leave me alone. But then he said, I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Long as you've got God on your side, you've got it made in the shade. Long as God is with you. And if God is with us and for us, who can be against us? God is on our side. We have met the conditions. Church is more than an iffy religion. Many people have religion, but you can have more than religion. You don't have to go through mass. You don't have to go through mass. You don't have to go through liturgy. You don't have to go through just a religious experience. God wants you to have so much more than that. Church is to be more than just an iffy religion. Iffy religion is so iffy. There's always a stipulation. There's always something you got to do. There's always something you got to meet. But Jesus makes it so easy. He took all the hard work out of it. All the things that were against us, which were contrary to us, he took it out of the way and he nailed it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly triumphing over them in the cross. And he made it easy. He took that middle wall of partition, Ephesians chapter 2. He took it out of the way. And now red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight, Jew and Gentile, no matter all the kindred, nations, tongue, tribes of the world. The book of the Revelation said, we're all born again. We may not speak the same language. We may not have the same skin color. We may not go to the same denominational church. But we're all part of the family of God. We're all born again by the Spirit of God. And that makes it worth it all. Church is more than just an iffy religion.
You have been listening to a Bible message from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, entitled, When Church is More Than an Iffy Religion. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have chosen Him to be your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Brew Ministries.